So, like I said, everything has just been changed this morning, and the brother that took the Bible reading, I had to quickly tell him, no, you're not going to be reading what we planned that you're going to be reading, because initially we had planned to just complete the chapter number 19. So we had to make a few changes to that this morning. And I guess the reason why I'm actually explaining a little bit about this is that if there is any lesson to learn from that is the fact that we are the clay in the hands of the Lord. He is the potter. And as the potter, he can always make changes, can always give direction, and we should be ready in spite of our plans and whatever we have programmed to be ready to make those changes, you know, because I believe that in your life, and it's not going to happen just once in a while, in your life, the Lord is going to be asking you to make certain changes that you never planned for. And you better be ready to make those changes. It may not just be in line with what you have planned, but it's going to be at the best. It's going to do you the best if you actually listen to him. So that if there is that lesson, I want you to pick that up from what has just taken place this morning. Sometimes it's easier to actually make those changes if you have not got many people involved. You know, but in an instance, for instance, when we have actually set up the Bible reading, we have set up a few other things, we have to make those changes and have to inform the people that are involved. Now, in my opinion, there is actually no time, I mean, in my lifetime, that believers have experienced as much disruption as actually the season that we are in. And it is quite very important that we remind ourselves that we are followers of Jesus. You know, it's okay to call ourselves Christians, and that's who we are. But sometimes I think it is probably better for us to call ourselves Christ followers, perhaps to remind ourselves that we are actually following somebody. We are following someone, and that someone that we're following actually has the final say over our life. We call him Lord because he's master. He dictates what we do. I've had members of our church in the last couple of weeks share with me fantastic testimonies of how the Lord has been with them, helped them, sustained them, and all those. And I thank the Lord for that. And that's one of the things that actually gives you a lot of joy as a pastor. But within the same period, I've actually also, you know, found out about certain people in our church who are struggling one way or the other. And of course, as a pastor, it actually gives you a lot of burden in your heart. You're not excited when you see that somebody in your sphere of influence, especially in your church, is passing through a very hard time. But I just want to drop this into your heart this morning, that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whether rain or sunshine, in the thick and the thin of life, you must always hold on to your make to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's important that we keep focus and we don't lose grip of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, it's a season when it's very easy for people to drift away, to move away, to backslide, to walk away, and do away with, you know, this Jesus thing. But make sure, people of God, that you're not part of that particular statistics. Make sure that at the end of the day, you have not been swept away by the hardship that is currently, swaying around in the whole world. COVID-19, in my opinion, is just a physical manifestation of a greater and a deeper spiritual battle that is taking place in our world at this point in time. And I want you to be strong. I want you to be established. I want you to hold on to your faith, because it is important that we don't allow the tide of the enemy to sway us or to sweep us away. All right. Having said all that, let's go into the class proper. And I would like to title this baptism class, See, Here is Water. See, Here is Water. And we have taken that from the book of Acts, the place where we have just read, you know, where the eunuch told Philip, there is water here, you know, I'm just hoping that I will be able to maintain this position throughout this time. You know, the media team, somebody told me, Pastor, just make sure you stay still, okay? Don't rock here and there. I said, I will try, but it's not, I'm not used to just sitting in a spot. Let's see how far it goes, and if it's not working, I'm going to take this chair away and I will do my walking. The most important thing is for us to do this study together. Now, I know that there are some of us who have already been water baptized, and that's great. Maybe this is kind of a refresher course for us, so that we know exactly the reason why we did what we did. For some of us, we probably have done it in the time when we did not have a full understanding of what we did. Maybe it's a good time for us to actually have an understanding of what we did. Perhaps there are some of us who did it, but who have strayed away from God. And who are saying, I want to actually come back and rededicate my life to Jesus. Maybe it's a good time to reconsider becoming water baptized again. You know, because you're going to see in a short while why we actually do water baptism. Let me start by saying this very clearly. Who needs to be water baptized? Those who are saved. Those who have been redeemed. Those who have made the Lord Jesus their Lord and Savior. Those who have confessed their sin and they have made a decision to follow Jesus. Those are the people that need to be water baptized. And the reason why I'm saying that is because water baptism does not save anybody. Water baptism is not even an addition to the things that will get you saved. You are saved by one thing, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We are saved by grace through faith. That's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter number 2. I want you to keep your Bible close to you because we're going to be reading a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter number 2, I'll just read verse number 8. It says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So let me make it clear and simple right from the outset. What gets us saved is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to him in simple faith, he releases the grace of salvation. The grace of God that brings salvation, the Bible says, has appeared unto all men. So water baptism is not what we do in order to get saved. You don't get saved because you have been, your salvation is not halfway and then get completed when you do water baptism. No, that's not what the Bible says. So then the question is, why do we need to do water baptism then? Why do I need to do water baptism? Let's start by saying this. When you get saved, what you are saying essentially is that you are coming to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. To make Jesus your Lord and Savior means you're making him your master. So he becomes the one who calls the shot over your life. He tells you what to do, basically. What you are saying is that I'm coming to you. I no longer want to lead or live the way I want to live. I want you to tell me how to live. That's what you do when you say you have given your life to Christ. I know it's a fancy, we use that fancy word now. I've given my heart to Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. But what it means essentially is that I no longer want to dictate how I live my life. I'm trusting that you know far better than I do, and I want you to begin to determine and dictate exactly how I live my life in every area of my life. So I'm making you my Lord. My Lord, Lord means master. So you tell me what to do, and I will do exactly that. Now, in his infinite mercy and grace, he has chosen baptism to be a demonstration of your willingness to actually live in a way that would show that you have actually made the decision to make him the Lord of your life. More often than not, you will see in the scriptures that as soon as people get saved, the first thing that they have to do is to get water baptized. It's almost like a way that Jesus is saying, okay, you want me to be your Lord now. Okay, my first instruction to you is that you go and get water baptized. Are you going to do that? And for many of us, we struggle with the first instruction that the Lord gave us, and the Lord still gives us to demonstrate the fact that we have now made him our Lord and Master. So in essence, what I'm saying is this, that baptism is the demonstration of the fact that you have made him your Lord. It's the demonstration of the new life. It's not the means to get saved. However, it is the essential thing to demonstrate that you have been saved. It is perhaps what you refer to as the first step that the Lord wants you to take to demonstrate that indeed I have decided to make you the Lord of my life. Think about it. If the Lord wants us to demonstrate to him that we have made him our Lord by jumping up and down, you know, maybe we wouldn't have any trouble with that. You know, maybe after salvation, I want you to jump and jump up and down 100 times. You know, I'm sure some of us will still have trouble with that anyway. Or maybe the Lord say, okay, you go and grow a beard, or leave your hair, let it become bushy or whatever, you know. Maybe some of us will have done that. I mean, some of us will still have struggled because, you know, the hair is just not growing as it should, you know. But he has chosen that water baptism is the way he wants us to demonstrate that we have made him the Lord of our life. Now, think about this. Somebody says, so how do I know that Jesus actually wants me to get water baptized? How do I know that it's not just one of those things that we just had it? I've just established the fact that water baptism is not required to be saved. Salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Whenever you add anything to that, you have made a mockery of salvation. You have added works to it. And that's the whole essence of the book of Galatians when Paul wrote to them that, look, salvation is just by faith alone, in Christ alone. You don't have to add anything. Don't add circumcision. Don't add, you know, attendance in church. Don't add, you know, any other thing. You know, as important as those other things are, you know, attendance in church, you know, serving in church, they are not required to be saved. Many of those activities or many of our services are demonstrations of our salvation. Water baptism is not required for you to be saved. It is required for you to demonstrate your obedience to the new master that you now have in your life. Jesus himself was water baptized. That's not all. Jesus asked us to baptize people. So it is an instruction. It is a commandment. It is a directive that has been given to us by our Lord. And if that is not enough, Jesus himself baptized others. So three things. Jesus was baptized. Jesus asked us to baptize. Jesus himself baptized other people. What else are you going to be asking to make sure that this is actually important to Jesus? If he did it to others, if he asked his disciples or his followers to do it, and if he himself subjected himself to it, what else do you require to show that Jesus actually wants this done? It's just sheer, in my own opinion, simple disobedience for any believer to say water baptism is not important. Yes, it is not required for salvation, but it is important to Jesus, and that's why he has asked us to do it. Look at what he says. This is where he commanded it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. This is what Jesus himself said. Matthew chapter 28, and this is verse 19. Jesus speaking said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus has resurrected. He was going to go home to be with his Father, and he wanted the disciples to know that this water baptism thing is important. And so it says, when you get anyone who makes a decision to follow Jesus, to follow me as his their Lord and Savior, baptize them. Okay? Baptize them. So he did not just command it. He himself subjected himself to be baptized. You remember what happens in Matthew chapter number 3? I want you to open to that place. Matthew chapter number 3. This is what he says in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you jump to verse number 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan at the Jordan to be baptized by him. So Jesus gave us instruction to baptize other people. Anyone that wants to make himself or to want to become a disciple of Jesus, Jesus said, baptize them. And Jesus himself was baptized. I mean, he could have waved that and just, you know, he is the Lord, he is the Master, he is the Savior. But he subjected himself to it, perhaps to show us that this is important to me. But that's just not all. There is an aspect that many of us don't actually appreciate, that the fact that Jesus himself actually baptized other people. Look at what the Bible says, John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3 and verse number 22. John 3, verse 22. This is what the Bible says about Jesus and his disciples. It says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Who are we talking about here? Jesus. Jesus himself baptized other people. And as a matter of fact, in fact, he baptized so many people that it became news around in the street, on the street rather, that Jesus is baptizing a lot more people than John. And as a matter of fact, some people actually came to John and said, look, the person you baptized has already opened shop, you know, on the other side, and is baptizing other people, baptizing disciples. Look at what he says in verse number 26, you know. Verse 25 says, then there arose a dispute between some of the disciples, John's disciples, and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. They're saying, John, we thought this is supposed to be your own ministry. But you remember the person you baptized, the Lord Jesus? He's already opened his own, you know, baptism area, and he's baptizing other people. So Jesus did not just get himself baptized by John. Jesus did not just tell us as for his followers to baptize whosoever wants to become his disciple. Jesus himself actually baptized other people. So what are we saying in essence? We are saying baptism is important. If it is so important to Jesus, then it should be important to you and I as his followers. And anyone that says that it is not important perhaps does not know as much as he should know about his Lord and his Master. Because the Master wants you and I to all be water baptized. Water baptism essentially is a public declaration of a new association. I'll say that again. Water baptism is a public declaration of a new association. You are associating with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the church, with the body of Christ, and you are openly, publicly declaring your association. You're saying, I'm not doing this in secret. I want everyone to know that I am actually following Jesus. And that's what Jesus expects us to do, to go public with our new association with his church, but more importantly, with him. So this is super, super important to Jesus. Somebody says, but I don't have to be water baptized to be saved. I've just said that. I said that a couple of times even before we got here. And somebody will use the example of the thief on the cross. You know, the thief on the cross, you know, he met Jesus in the last moment of his life. And he wasn't water baptized. Are you suggesting that while he was on the cross, he should take an excuse from the centurion and say, excuse me, can you take off this nail and let me go and quickly get myself water baptized? No, you're using an example of something that is special. That is, it's not the usual. You're not waiting for you to be nailed to the cross. That you know. So it's an exception. It's not the rule. For everyone that has the opportunity of getting saved, the first thing that they ask them to do in the first century church is to be water baptized. Not because they want it to appear as being cool, but because that's actually what the Lord himself wanted them to do. And so when he was going, he told them exactly the same thing. It is a public decree. You're going public with your faith. So the first thing about going public is, number one, you want to follow the example set by Christ. He set that example. He wanted you to, he demonstrated by showing that he himself subjected himself to it. He told his disciples to baptize other people that want to be his disciples, and he himself baptized other people. So we're just following his example as our Lord. He's actually the symbol of a new life in Christ. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 6. I want you to turn there. Romans chapter number 6. Look at what it says from verse number 3. So it's talking about being dead to sin and being alive to God. Look at what it says. It says, "Or do you not know," from verse 3, "do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Don't you know that when you are baptized into Christ Jesus, you are baptized into his death? Now, this is talking about baptism generally. But it also gives us a foundation of water baptism. You remember that baptism is not just about being water baptized. We talked a few weeks ago about being baptized in the Spirit as well. So the word baptism here is just, it just means to be immersed. To be immersed, you know, to be dipped into something. It's actually from a word, baptizo, which they use in those days when they want to dye clothes. You know, they will put the cloth to be dyed and immerse them into the dye, and they will bury them into the dye for a certain period, such that when they will bring them up, they will have attained and assumed the color of the dye. That's exactly what baptism means. It means to be dipped in and be immersed in the water. Now, it says, therefore, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. So it is not just to follow his example, it's also to demonstrate a new life. So what this passage is talking about is this. The water baptism is just a demonstration, an outward demonstration of actually what took place in the realm of the Spirit. So when you are baptized, and that's why when we're going to baptize you, we're going to dip you into the water, you know, fully immersed in the water, and then at that period of time that you are under the water, it signifies your burial with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been dead, you are now being buried with Christ, you know. Don't worry, we're not going to keep you there for a long time, okay? All right? So you're being buried with Christ, and then when we move you out, you are raised into a new life. It's a demonstration of that death, burial, and you are now being resurrected in the new life with Jesus. So that's what baptism signifies. But more importantly, it signifies your obedience to your Lord. It's the first instruction that it will give to everyone that has come to Christ. As a matter of fact, in the first century believers, that's the first thing they will ask them to do. You know, we have several examples in the Bible. The passage that we read in the Bible, you know, Acts chapter number 8, talks about a eunuch who found himself in a desert. You know, there was no one to be able to help him. And the Spirit of the Lord asked Philip to go to the desert. And then when he got to the desert, he saw this man. He was reading somewhere. He didn't understand it. This man, the Bible referred to him as the eunuch from Ethiopia. He didn't understand what he was doing. What he was reading, rather, he was reading a portion of the Bible from the book of Isaiah. I believe he had some scrolls. Don't forget, they don't have this Bible with them in that in that day. They don't have it compiled in this form. So he must have been a very privileged person to have had a scroll from Isaiah. But he didn't understand it. And so Philip joined his chariot and he explained things to him and he explained Christ to him from the same scripture, because that scripture was obviously talking about the Messiah to come. And I will imagine that the discussion will have been, look, the Messiah has come. He has come and he has come to die for the sin of the world. He has been buried. He was buried. He had risen up. He is now alive. So we can come to him and be saved. And the eunuch was saved. And the eunuch said, so what is stopping? So this is water. Right there and then. You know, this is water. Because that's supposed to be the next line of, it's almost, in fact, most of the time in the Bible, you see if you are saved and you are baptized. It's almost like a natural thing that will happen to anyone that gives their life to Christ. And that's why if you visit many of the churches, some churches, especially the older churches, older generation churches, they actually will have a baptistry or a pool of water, you know, around in the church, right there and then, so that as you're getting saved, no time wasted. You know, as you're getting saved, we're baptizing you in water. You know, because it's supposed to be something immediate. It's the first installment of your obedience to your new Lord. You know, Lord, I am going to follow you. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. Great. Can you get dipped in the water? Can you get water baptized at the demonstration of the fact that you are now dead to yourself? And you are now rising with me. So you're dead, and then we are buried when you get under the water, and you are now alive. So it's an announcement of your new life in Christ Jesus. And that's why those guys could just not wait. This guy was in the desert, and they saw the water. He said, see, here is water. The jailer in Acts chapter number 16, you know, this guy just jailed the apostles. Paul and then the chain of the prison was loose. You remember the story we dealt with it a few weeks ago, and that the jailer was going to kill himself. Said, no, don't kill yourself. We are all here. You don't have to kill yourself. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they ministered the gospel to himself and his household in the middle of the night. And the Bible says they were baptized that same night. They couldn't wait for the morning break. It was that important. I'm stressing this because there is no reason to wait whatsoever. If you have decided you are following Jesus, then follow it up immediately with water baptism. Because it is important to God. It is important to Jesus. You can't wait. Somebody said, "But I gave my heart to Jesus, you know, 10 years ago, and now can I do it?" Please do it as soon as possible, as quickly as possible. It's a demonstration of the fact that you are now dead with Christ and you are buried with him and you are now rising up or raised up with him to live the new life. So it is important to him and it should be done as soon as possible. No time wasted whatsoever. Look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter 22. This is Ananias speaking to Paul. Acts chapter 22. Look at what the Bible says. So the story is now, Paul is talking about his encounter, you know, in Acts chapter number, in the earlier part of the book of Acts, he had an encounter with Jesus, and so he's now recounting that encounter. So he said, for instance, in verse number 15, so this is Ananias talking to Paul. Let me quickly read from verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, chapter 22 from verse 12, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our father has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witnesses to all men of what you have seen and heard. Verse 16, this is what he said to him. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. What are you waiting for? Paul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized right away. It's the first installment of your obedience to your Lord, if he's indeed your Lord and Master. Be baptized. So they would not waste any time whatsoever. You remember the same thing in the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter number 10. Look at what the Bible says. In fact, these guys were already, when they got saved, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they also started speaking in tongues. But all that did not in any way dismiss the importance of water baptism. Look at what it says in verse number 44. Acts chapter number 10, verse 44. It says this, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that this should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. No time wasted. Baptized in the name of the Lord. No time wasted whatsoever. Because it's a demonstration of the decision that you have made to die with Christ, but buried with him, and you are now rising up. So be baptized. What are you going to do to begin to round up? Number one, be baptized if you have made a decision to follow Christ, and do that as quickly as possible. Be baptized as soon as possible. No time to be wasted whatsoever. If you have made a decision to follow him and make him your Lord and Master, be baptized. And then be baptized, we tend to do it publicly. Because as soon as it happens, whoever is there, it doesn't matter. You just baptize the people. We've just seen these people. In fact, in Acts chapter number 2, look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, I believe in verse number 38. It says this. Then Peter said to them, repent. So those guys say, so what are you doing? Let's read from verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were caught to the heart. They heard the gospel and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. Verse number 40. And with many words, the testimony, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. What I'm saying, people of God, is that you get saved and immediately they baptize you. And it's a public declaration. You're making it public. I'm dead. I'm buried. I'm now rising up to live a risen life with Christ. So, people of God, I'm asking you again, see, here is water. What is holding you back? What else do you want to know? He baptized people. He asked us to baptize. He himself was water baptized. He has given it as an instruction. In fact, it's the main sacrament, apart from the breaking of bread, that he has given to the church. That this is what I want you to observe. When you are saved, get water baptized. And so that's why, as a church, we believe in it, and we're going to be doing one, on Easter Sunday. that's beautiful. Because on Easter Sunday, we're commemorating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's cool that you are resurrecting with Christ the same day. You know what I'm talking about? So we're going to do it on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I believe that's April 4th. Immediately after the service, so we're going to do that just at the back. I want to thank the men's team who came around and helped us to get the space that we're going to be using prepared. In fact, we had planned to actually do it right in front of the church, but we had some issues that we're not able to overcome. That's why we're going to be doing it at the back of the church. We want everyone to know that you're getting water baptized, okay? You announce it to the world on CNN, that you're getting water baptized. You are dying when you are demonstrating your death, your burial, and your resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. The life you now live in the flesh is no longer your life. You are living the life that Jesus died to give you. That's what you're demonstrating to the whole world. And it's a public declaration. I'm not identified. And as a matter of fact, if you look at that place, it's not just identifying with Jesus. It's also identifying with his church. And that's why, look at what the Bible says as a roundup. Romans chapter number 6. Look at what it says in verse number 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as we're baptized, not the word us, as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. So he's using the collective word here now as us, referring to the body, the people that are in the body of Christ, you know. Therefore, we were buried with him, we that are saved, we that have confessed him as our Lord and Savior, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, by the glory of the Father, even so we. And if you're part of the we, you are part of the church. So it's identification with the body of Christ as well. We, because this is something that I've asked the disciples, my followers to do. So it's an identification with the body of Christ. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. So when you go, we're going to tell you how we're going to, the reason why we're still going to be meeting after the end of the service is that we're going to be given specific instruction as to how to prepare for the day and what to do and how to get into the water and how to come out of the water and all those things. It's going to be safe, you know. We're not going to drown anyone. We have not drowned anyone. Our record shows that we have not drowned anyone in the past, and we're not going to start doing that now. Of course, if you have special medical condition, you let us know, and we know how to deal with that, you know. It's going to be smooth. So you're going to be sitting, and we're going to be pulling you down, and I'm going to be saying a few words. Of course, I'm going to be asking you whether you are saved, whether you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're going to answer yes. If you answer no at that point in time, I will just carry you out of the pool and just, you know, no, don't worry, I won't carry you. I'm just telling you that I will just usher you out of the pool, you know, because there's no reason for us to go ahead with any water baptism. If you say, you know, you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, so why are you dying with him? You know, you're not dying with him, so you'll just go out. If you want to go and swim, I'll just give you address to, you know, to to a good swimming pool, you know. So and then I'll say that, and then I will pray, and then dip you in the water, and then you come out. We want you to come with family members and friends. I want you to really go public. Want you to really go public for as many of you as are going to be doing. So this is important to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe it should be important to you and me. He did it. He subjected himself to it. He himself asked us to do it, and he himself did it. And all through, as soon as when he was leaving, this was important to him. He wouldn't go to heaven without even giving specific instruction. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So there should be no reason for anyone to not get water baptized and to be looking for reasons why they should not be water baptized. There should be no reason whatsoever. It's the first key important thing that the Lord wants you to do to demonstrate that you are really ready to be obedient to the Lord that you have just made of him. He is now your Lord. And he say, oh, get into the water. And you're saying, no, tell me another thing. That's not a good way to start your relationship with your new Lord. Let us pray.